What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list? You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey folks, Ben, Breaker of Banksters, Cochrane here, November 9th, 2020. It's Monday. We actually are not having a live Patriot Power Hour tomorrow, so having this daily audio cache to discuss, well, what do you think, the election, and especially what's going to happen in the future. So, bringing on my co-host, Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. How you doing there, buddy?
Yeah, it's amazing times we live in. It's anything you want to believe times.
That's the name of today's daily audio cache. It is, and it really applies to everything. We're going to talk a lot of election today, but whether it's financial system or culture and ethics, you know, whatever ethics you want, whatever you want them to be. I mean, that's kind of, you know, just another example. So it is the times to believe whatever you want, live your truth, right? Anyway, we're going to try to keep this pretty focused because we're used to an hour plus, but we're only going to go about 15 minutes, I think, here. Future Dan, please direct our listeners' attention to FutureDanger.com and many of the articles up there, and maybe you could run through some and hit it right now.
Well, there's one that's not on the website because it's not in and of itself dangerous, but breaking news today, the president fired the Secretary of Defense. That doesn't happen that often, and it's not something that the Pentagon would necessarily take, you know, well. There's an acting Secretary of Defense in place now, so you know, they'll get through it, but that's sort of extraordinary. But the talk of the day is the discussion on what kind of ballot fraud did occur. We talked about many types 2 weeks ago on Patriot Power Hour. Now we're witnessing allegations, at the least, of several.
My friend, he is anti-conspiratorial, but even he admits, yeah, there will be an R, quote, isolated incidents of fraud. So what he would say, I haven't done this, but if I presented this information, we're going to, and that folks can listen, can go see on FutureDanger.com or probably have been following along, he would say, oh, those are either unsubstantiated or yes, that might have happened, but these type, you know, these type of things happen. They're doing their best. The system does have integrity, and you're being conspiratorial and way too paranoid. You know, Trump just needs to leave office. What would you say to someone like that?
The data is showing massive lots of Biden votes showing up at the end in all of the key states. And the reporting figures are entirely out of line with, you know, any distribution that's logical. There's no known explanation for 20, 30, 40,000 mail-in ballots to go so extraordinarily for Biden that made the difference at the end. It seems likely to a large amount of Americans that several states have corrupt elections, and the counting right now has become so.
So where does that take us next? I think is what mostly we're going to focus on. We can look back, and that's where we get the data from. We look back at the articles that are posted on Future Danger and many other claims. Some, I'm sure, are false, but many are real. But what is next? we're not constitutional attorneys or on the Trump legal team. But if you recall, folks, just 2 weeks ago, we did an election vulnerability assessment. This would have been on the 27th of October. Geez, I think we almost did a full 90-minute show that night as well, didn't we? And we went through kind of the next 75 minute. Remember, I remember now. Okay, so we not going to say we called it because it's pretty obvious this election will be heavily contested. But we're entering those next phases that we discussed. Where do you think? You know, there's some key dates that we can talk about, of course. But what is the next steps in the interim? Let's just say in the next week or two. Between now and the next Patriot Power Hour next week, we will be live on our normal time on Tuesdays, but at 8 p.m. Eastern. So the 17th, we'll be back. But long story short, in the next week or two, and that'll be before the Electoral College votes and all those other deadlines in December and January we talked about, what do you expect to see?
The legal pathways to invalidate ballots. It's the only legal challenge that the president has. And whether there's evidence that supports it, it's going to be amazing to see how closely a lens is put on what different precincts did and how it's handled by the courts. Obviously, layers of judges who are going to be either pro-Biden and make an outcome for that, or are jurists who are too conservative to accept the claims and therefore dismiss it or, you know, overrule it. And then it's appeal to the next level, appeal to the next level. And you got state attorney generals like Ohio just this afternoon, you know, joining a petition to the Supreme Court to invalidate things in Pennsylvania. So where do these go in the next 7 days, 8 days to our next episode? We should see matters before the Supreme Court that they probably haven't decided yet, but there'll be rulings, I'd have to imagine.
No, it's going to be very interesting. They'll be doing case studies on this for quite a long time. I wanted to get into one of those statistical analysis you were talking about coming out of Zero Hedge, and I will straight up say I have not vetted the data source used in this analysis, but based on, you know, assuming that data source is valid, it's a very interesting conclusions. Let's say I'll try to break it down very quickly and without getting stat nerd.
I'm pretty sure, Ben, the data source is every election apparatus in each state releases totals. They always have. They always do. And all the news feeds get those totals in approximately the exact same time. So what the charts are is just the state counts.
Okay. I guess I'll rephrase it. That's a good one. I'm glad you put that way. Essentially, long story short, this was taken from the New York Times website itself. So they would have...
I think they scraped the entire, you know, webs, all the sources that get it from states.
As many as they could?
You know, and they've scraped the websites to analyze when it was reported.
So I guess my point is I haven't run this analysis myself, so we will defer. You know, they're doing it. I can run this analysis if I wanted to. Don't have the time right now. So anyway,
it's repeatable,
and I haven't repeated the experiment, so I'm just saying that as a caveat. But assuming it is valid, what are we looking at? What is this thing? And without getting into, well, first off, folks can't really see this unless they go to the article, which you can find on Future Danger.
Are you going to describe an XY chart over the radio?
Nope, super simple. What I'm going to say is the meaning, and the meaning is all of a sudden, out of nowhere, instead of it being at the very end, out of nowhere, the last 10% of time of batch reporting time, so these batches of votes, the last 10% of time and probably 10% or fewer of ballots all had
when
some...
When unsigned ballots and postmarked late ballots and all kinds of other irregular mail-in ballots arrived.
Yeah,
what happened?
The 11th hour, they all... based on the statistical analysis, had an immediate jump in the percentage that were skewed towards Biden. And it was essentially a perfect jump with no variability and no volatility, which anyone who's done any statistics knows that nothing is perfect. There's no perfect linear. It's almost impossible to have a perfect linear regression line, for example. But we see it here, and we see that a gap between where it used to be and just instantly jumps, transforms up a level, and in this case, going up means going to Biden.
It only happened in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada. Every other state, like with, you know, Wyoming or Vermont, who had all their same totals tracked as they were released in little lots, hundreds of votes here, hundreds of votes there, you know, over time reported by the states, had other distributions, right? Over time, high, low, all over the place. And people are analyzing it to say that was the early Trump mail-in vote, or that was the early Biden, not in-person voting, but Trump voting was in-person. Different groups, right? But none of them have the signatures of what can only be accounted for as blatant, naked ballot fraud in the key states. And it may be so nakedly apparent in the data, yet complicated enough that most Americans won't even try to understand it.
Oh, yeah, no.
So that it just goes on in broad daylight. Check out that article, folks. And if you're not mathematically oriented, take your time. You should study it. Question the sources, of course, but it's supposed to be public data. And it doesn't tell anything of a story other than outright fraud in several states.
And so that's what I'm looking forward to. Maybe not in the next week. The next week they're going to be making those legal pathways. But I'm hoping if there was fraud, which I've seen many suggestions there was, I hope the legal teams out there are trying to make that path to the Supreme Court and other judges. I think we'll have to go to the Supreme Court, I'm sure. And here's the question. What can they do about it? I think, again, I'm not an attorney, but I believe the best that Trump fans can hope for is to invalidate enough Biden electoral votes that neither candidate reaches 270. I think that's the, quote, path to victory. I don't think they'll be able to flip these necessarily into Trump, but more like invalidate. There could be other options on the table. We'll be watching this developing situation, of course, but that falls right into our assessment, or you know, our threat assessment for the election as well, if neither of them hits 270. And that, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's kind of the most likely other option besides Biden just, you know, no one challenging this or it failing in the Supreme Court.
Well, did you ever think of the Electoral College as a fail-safe to corrupt state elections?
Since you and I started talking about this a month or two ago, I have. Before then, I did not as much, for sure.
I'm not sure if the founders wrote a lot about it, not well studied on the, you know, the origin and they knew how to do electoral colleges back in the day, and they put it in there because, you know, the postal aspect of it meant, you know, they had to accumulate votes in a colonial, you know, post-colonial country. Hard to do. So the electoral college made sense, right? But we're looking at it today. You can have elections without states in the Union during Civil War. You can have elections potentially during natural disasters where states can't hold them. Right, you can have them in many robust conditions. It's a resilient part of our Constitution, it seems to me. And if it does play a role in eliminating state corruption that somehow was, considered systemic, if large lots of ballots are now go missing, or are, you know, interfered with, or just the custodianship of them is lost. That could be before the Supreme Court. But I will tell you that if this was a deliberate, widespread attempt at cheating the vote in several states, it would be, to me, Ben, and this is the Patriot Power Hour that we broadcast on, talking about Constitution and things that are patriotic on a regular basis. This might be a real fundamental weakness of the federal system. And the only remedy, I hate to say, would be a federal ballot enforcement agency, something that was considered, you know, mandatory observers everywhere. kind of third world type, you know, set up, centralized control. And I'm not even sure that can't become corrupted in enough time. But certainly the states have figured out how to, you know, do large amounts of novel mail-in ballot, you know, counting this year. And I don't think a federal system, you know, our original system of states can actually be trusted to have an outcome that the rest of the country will trust.
Well, there's a lot to tackle there. I think, first off, the Founding Fathers put as many kind of barriers and firewalls as possible. So in that vein, I think the Electoral College sort of acts as another obstacle. It's not going to prevent total fraud by itself, of course. But so I think that's a point to be made. Gosh, I had another good point that just escaped my mind because you put so many good ones together. But I don't know.
It boggles the mind. I'm sorry about that.
what was the topic you said just before that? I really had something good to say. It escapes me.
Before tying it back to a weakness in the federal system?
Yeah, blockchain. Blockchain is the key. Sorry, guys. They already use – I mean, come on. Everyone's like, oh, don't use computers. Blockchain would be hacked. No. They're already using that stuff, and these paper ballots are even less secure than the blockchain. So until you don't need a centralized czar of national elections. I think that's the wrong direction. That was what I meant to say.
Well, that's interesting coming from an advocate of actual precious metal as a container of property value, because the ballot itself, and from my perspective, may ought to be something that's a highly personalized object that you fill out and return, mm-hmm. you know, on your own accord every year. Like you get it, you know, from a centralized source at the beginning, and you are responsible for bringing it to in a very, you know, what we, it really isn't going to be anymore, but it, if it's not within a tight period of time, the fraud opportunities grow and grow and grow. And this year, some of these states have done 60-day ahead mail-in, right?
Well, that's
and
the thing.
They count them ahead of time, so they know what they need to defeat.
They may have been a perfect – I'm not saying this is the reason they spread COVID, was to launch this very extravagant plan to get mail-in ballots, but it is convenient
but if they did,
for them.
Yeah.
It's a good side effect.
Some of this could have been thought through by foreign powers a long time ago, looking at how we're organized.
It's definitely.
Just saying.
Yeah. We've got people wargaming this everywhere. I'm going to get down with a blockchain. I mean, they did this actually with a lot of folks, but they did it limited and only in certain states where you could request your mail-in ballot. It had a certain, let's just call it a public address. If you know anything about blockchain, your public address. And I don't mean like your mailing address. You fill out the ballot, send it in, and it confirms. And you have your unique code and identity to be able to confirm that your ballot was sent in, it's been processed, it's been counted, etc. They're already doing that to some degree. So maybe a national system for that might be different, but at least at a state level. I like keeping things at the state level, though, because national, just too much centralization.
So you're in favor of moving voting to an electronic currency, but in favor of holding wealth outside of the financial electronic currencies, the fiat money system. Isn't that a contradiction? I mean, shouldn't the physical override the electronic, because the trust in the electronic is never going to be there?
Not yours, though. So maybe we're not ready for this yet. I trust my blockchain more than a paper ballot because I can see it at all times. Whereas a paper ballot, once it's gone. I'll never see it, and I'll know if it's been burned, you know, flipped, something crazy. But I'm pretty young, so maybe not ready for it yet.
What if you got your ballot back after you cast it?
That would be pretty cool. I mean, there's still shell games people could play, so we don't have much time to talk about that right now. I'm not going to lie. But there's better options.
We transact property with paper documents, deeds around the world, hold down land, and those documents are considered, like, valid, and they're stored properly.
We can have both.
Why in the world is it? If you could tie the physical with the digital,
yeah,
to just interlock it, tie it down, like you said, the framers, you know, they put firewalls and breaks in there. If you can do something that for our election, our republic can sustain this. If we can't, we suffer something like this. If indeed the valid data, you know, the data is validated, if the, you know, there'll be a portion of our country that is never going to hear it, right? We're not talking to them. We're talking to everybody else who's open-minded to the fact that this could have happened, sees the data for themselves. But what if it's worse in 4 years or 8 years? How long can we sustain that way?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And I don't mean get rid of all
the... No, it's the type of thing that would lead to succession. It's the type of thing that would say states were not electing our president. They're going to stand out of it, and that's disunion.
And I don't think get rid of paper ballots per se, but you get a watermark stamp. And some people, the conspiracy, I don't know if it's true or not, I've seen allegedly the Trump campaign caught them with a bunch of fake mail-in ballots and water stamps that are pretty much blockchain, just to that next level. I don't know if it's true, but that's the stuff that they need to bring to the table. If they don't, I don't know if they're cowardly or compromise themselves, but we'll find out in the next month or two.
What if everybody's ballot was a gold coin and they got it back after they imprinted it and cast it, and it was acted like subsidy anyhow?
Well, if everybody owned a gold coin, gold would be worth $50,000 an ounce if everyone owned an ounce. So remember that.
The answer is because the government doesn't have any gold give like that.
Well, that's true too. Smart contracts, just look that up. Smart contracts. But anyway, not a solution overnight, and we're just kind of, what are we going to do about the immediate future is more what we need to talk about, I guess. But
plus, if the grid went down, you still have that ballot. So
you better.
They're never going to not have ballots.
The election is the least we need to worry about if the grid goes down, sir.
No, I mean, what would happen if Hurricane Cat 5 went right up the Delaware like 2 days before the election in, you know, just regular times, right? I mean, it still has to do ballots, and they'd probably amend the law to, you know, collect them late, but, right, you know, or they would have, you know, things could invalidate a state election. If you're out there and, you know, you're despondent about the result right now, you know, it's not outside the realm of possibility, but it would take a lot to do it.
For sure, for sure. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It'll be very interesting. I predict that Biden will be the president, so plan as such. But, hey, who knows? Either way, it'll be very interesting, and people will be pissed off on both sides. But there's a lot of game times left. Everyone's trying to say it's over, but I don't think it's over yet. So we'll see.
By this time next week, we could see the FBI director fired. We could see the CIA director fired. We could see a purge like none other. And that could be destabilizing too. So keep an eye on that.
Well, that's really what we're going to be covering just as much or more in a future episode's Patriot Power Hour. So we'll definitely talk and keep coverage of the election and as it continues, perhaps the appeal and legal process. But we're certainly going to be talking about things such as Bitcoin blasting up, but also some other news, whether it's COVID vaccine news or others.
Yeah,
so
6 days after the election, or 5 days after the election, surprise, there's a possible vaccine.
Surprise, Dow Jones up 834 points, 2.95% today. Biggest rally in 5 months after, quote, positive Pfizer vaccine news. So, yeah, we'll see, we'll see.
Come back to Patriot Power Hour for your pro-accelerationist and anti-accelerationist view and analysis weekly throughout the fall, right up to the Electoral College meeting December 14th, Ben.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, guys. We'll call it that for the DAC. For my co-host, good friend, future Dan, this is Ben the Breaker of Banksters. Keep your head up, keep up the good fight, and keep on prepping, folks. Have a good one.